Beneath by M59 Gar. Music by Miu. From the moment I reached the top of the wooden stairs, I immediately disliked the room, an expansive, antiquated attic that creaked with each swelling winter gust. The space filled me with an uneasy apprehension. As a cover for my disquiet, I pretended to be annoyed that his family had stuck us with the worst room in the house. Coming up the stairs behind me, my boyfriend urged me to persevere. It was just for the week, and then we'd be free of the drama for another year. To say that I got along poorly with his family would be an understatement. His young cousins and his aunts and uncles weren't the problem. It really came down to his incredibly old-fashioned grandparents, who disapproved of our living together and our avoidance of marriage. This was their house, their creaky, dim old house, and I knew I would have to put up with their comments and disrespect all week. "At least they've given us our own room this year," he offered. Shivering against the drafts, I clenched my jaw. Right, great. The first evening, Christmas Eve, went about as I expected. The aunts and uncles lined the couches as the kids ran around and played. Everyone plied my boyfriend with questions about his coming graduation and expected a career. A few questions went my way, but those were quickly silenced by his grandfather's stern frown. Unhappy but enduring, I returned to our attic room without complaint. The night had been called early on account of the Christmas presents to be opened the next morning, so the house quickly fell quiet. Wrapped in multiple blankets, my boyfriend slept soundly while I sat awake, dwelling on the week ahead. High wooden posts, four in all, flanked each corner of the white antique bed. As I sat in the creaking, shifting darkness, this guardian post seemed to stand solid against the drafts, marking out a scant area of calm. Outside the bed's space, the entire attic seemed alive. I could see very little by the faint moonlight filtering in through the solitary window, but I felt like I was sitting outside, bare on an open plain. The walls seemed laughably incapable of resisting the biting winds, almost appearing to move back and forth with each gust. I felt uncomfortably vulnerable. Vulnerable to who or what, I couldn't say, but the unease I'd first felt now had risen to a wary anticipation. Antique furniture lined the attic's extremities, and I had the oddest notion that someone could easily hide among those dusty relics. Against the whistling winter wind, I wouldn't even hear them breathing. Keeping my eyes wide open, I scanned the creaking shadows, straining to see by the barest moonlight. Something got my attention between an old armoire and a plastic-shrouded sofa. Staring at it, I tried to comprehend what I was seeing. I moved my sight a little over, using the edges of my vision, and the two little circles blinked. I pushed back into the headboard with a guttural shout. My boyfriend rolled awake, wide-eyed, as a silhouette quickly pattered across the floor.
"I got you," the youngest of his cousins squealed. "Got you so bad."
I sighed.
"Get out of here," my boyfriend complained. "Santa doesn't give presents to bad little girls. Go back to bed."
"No fair. I'll be good now," the little girl promised, skipping down the steps with one or more bout of laughter at having scared me.
My boyfriend rolled over, returning to sleep with a grumble. Annoyed, I decided to sleep as well. Embarrassment easily trumped any vague apprehensions I had about the room. As my senses dulled, I heard a louder creak above the shifting winds, something I attributed to his little cousin. "Go back to sleep," I muttered. The creaking immediately stopped and did not return again that night. Christmas Day turned out to be rather fun, occupying my thoughts right up through dinner. It was only afterward, while the kids lay in food comas and the adults chatted lazily over wine, that my apprehensions returned.
"You know, the attic's really creaky," I said. "Lots of drafts."
"We don't normally have this many people over," his grandmother replied, her tone pointed. Otherwise, everyone unmarried would have their own rooms. After a sip of her wine, one of the aunts chimed in.
Yep, we haven't had anyone stay in the attic in almost 30 years. Not since...
Well, actually, I think it was...
A long time ago, his grandmother interrupted, her manner suddenly, strangely diplomatic.
Wasn't that when Dad's war buddy visited, and then after tonight, see... Stress disorders are a terrible thing, that's all it was.
That line of conversation died abruptly as a discomfort fell over the room. They changed topics and resumed the merriment, but I couldn't let it go. At the end of the night, sitting up in the bed's scant rectangle of safety, I returned to my boyfriend.
After two nights, he what?
Who, the war buddy? I don't know. Haven't heard that story. He yawned drunkenly, clicked the nightstand lamp off, and rolled over into his cocoon of blankets. I stayed awake again, listening to the darkness, creaks, and wind. The clouds obscured the moon that night, and my eyes strained for an even hint of dim light, but found none. As I sat motionless in the pitch black, the drafts on my face and the subtle motions of the house against the wind stirred up an uncomfortable disorientation. I had the strangest notion, so immersive, so physical, without any senses but touch and hearing, that the vast open plain I'd imagined sitting out on the night before had returned, but fuller this time, more real. Straining my eyes, I peered around the windy darkness for perceived hours, perhaps hoping vainly to ward off some imagined creature stalking the open landscape around the bed's pitiful rectangle of safety. Feeling a bit concerned by my strange fears, knowing that I would never sleep while these abstract terrors gripped me, I decided to indulge them a bit. Slowly, so as to make no noise or disruption, I slipped the blankets off and took the cell phone my boyfriend had left between our pillows. I crawled forward on the bed carefully, slid my hand out, and found the corner bedpost. The chilly wind flowed by exactly as I imagined it might in a wide, empty expanse. I tentatively raised a hand upward, feeling icy void and breezes flowing slightly faster above, but I couldn't be sure. Crouched at the end of the bed, eyes wide in a futile attempt to see something, anything at all, a warm breeze ran down my face. Confused, I froze. Had I found the invisible flow from a vent, dispensing heat from the furnace 3 stories below? I moved my face forward, stopping an inch from the imaginary wall of safety between the 2 bedposts. The warm breeze came again, at a definite downward angle, brushing across the lower half of my face, as if... Electricity ran through every muscle, and I held my breath. I'd imagined something stalking the open, surreal landscape out in the pitch black. I stared out, trying to detect it. What if it lurked right beyond the bedposts, trying to see me in return? Was it arched there, fully the height of the bed, and my crouched body, its face an inch from mine? My right hand moved up ever so slowly, bringing the cell phone up right next to my face. All I had to do was click a button and it would light up. I hesitated, terrified by the notion that I would illuminate something horrifying staring back at me. My finger trembled above the buttons. The chilly draft seemed to change shape around me, and the warm breathing vanished. I listened intently, unable to hear any sound of movement, but the physical presence of something directly opposite me in the darkness had gone. I clicked the light's phone on. Nothing horrible leapt at me from the darkness. I shook my head with a sigh. The bedpost stood faintly illuminated by the screen's light, and the only thing I could see was my own ridiculous behavior. Shining the phone around, I found nothing disturbing in any direction. In fact, I found nothing at all. Curious, shivering against the breezes, I shined the phone down. The bed's heavy feet seemed to rest on an open void. Moving closer but not daring to cross past the bedposts, I tried to make out the floorboards, but there was just nothing. The phone slipped from my fingers then and bounced from the edge of the mattress and over. Breathless, I watched in anticipation as the spinning dim rectangle of light dropped away. It vanished almost immediately. I hesitated only for a moment, and then turned hastily toward the opposite end of the bed, crawling for the headboard. The phone had seemed to drop away at an angle. Peering over the headboard, I sighted the spinning light again, now far, far behind the bed, and moving away. It fell for another 2 or 3 interminable seconds, hitting something hard with an audible clatter, its light spilling across rock. Rocks? What the hell was I looking at? Even as the confusing image receded into the distance, my racing thoughts finally placed it all. I wasn't on an open plain. I was in a cave. I was moving through a cave, and something huge and mobile had moved in front of the phone's distant light, blotting it out. But not near the phone, no. The shadow blocking the phone's light was immediate and close. Its warm breath on my face was now unmistakable. Frozen again, I watched as the enormous shadow passed, crawling above, quite literally crawling on top of the rectangular space marked by the bed's 4 posts. I could feel the warm gusts from directly above. It was aware of me now, aware of our unfamiliar block of space, aware of something alive inside that space, something it couldn't seem to reach, but something it most certainly wanted. I cowered down, listening to intermittent scratching noises that belied its attempts to reach us. I felt like an animal cowering in a cage, with no recourse except to hide and hope. A blast of sunlight sliced along my eyes, and the attic's furniture and familiar wooden walls instantly melted into form across my vision. I hadn't blinked. That's all I kept telling myself. I hadn't blinked. There was no way I'd fallen asleep. It couldn't have been a dream. I reached for the phone between the pillows, but it was gone. Deeply disturbed, I spent the day in a daze, internally debating what I'd experienced. I couldn't tell anyone. I couldn't give his grandparents another reason to dislike me, or his family cause for thinking me insane. But this had to be what his grandfather's veteran friend had experienced. Sneaking away before dinner, all lights on, I examined every inch of that attic, a rising note of panic pushing me faster the closer night approached. I carefully pried back a loose board in the wall. Nothing of note back there. I opened all the dusty furniture, but found nothing out of the ordinary. The moment came when there was nothing left, save the open one space I feared the most. I watched it at an angle, in a propped-up mirror, wondering if something might betray itself, but the dark space under the bed lay silent and still, emanating inexplicable menace. "What are you doing?" my boyfriend asked, interrupting.
Nothing, just thinking.
Weirdo. Everyone's wondering where you are. It's dinner time. I gulped. Okay. Dinner was a blur. I considered asking someone to switch rooms, but I doubted anyone would, and even so, I couldn't justify sending my boyfriend's family into that strange nightmare world without warning. And otherwise, there was no other place to sleep, and no excuse that wouldn't make me seem strange. I took a flashlight and knife with me to bed, hiding them under my pillow. As my boyfriend slept, I waited. This time, sitting in the breezy void, I could almost tell the exact moment that things changed. The creaks and drafts blurred together in a constant cool flow, and I knew we were back in that otherworldly cave. How it was happening or where it was, I had no idea, but it had seemed, on the night prior, that we were safe as long as we stayed in the bed. It occurred to me that I might have focused my search in the wrong place. Maybe it wasn't the attic or the furniture at all. Maybe it was the bed, something I resolved to investigate in the morning. Using my own cell phone, I dialed his on the off chance that it would somehow still work. A moment later, the tiniest dot of light appeared in the distance ahead. A moving shadow almost immediately blotted it out, falling from my distraction. Turning on my flashlight, I aimed it up, intent on proving I was moving through a cave. The attic ceiling greeted my light, the wooden rafters vague, washy, and partially transparent. I could see the flashlight's beam grow weaker beyond it, where the light continued up to a wide, distant circle on uneven stone. Stalactites and protrusions raced by a dizzying speed that immediately prompted me to click my light off and fall back on the pillows. So we were in both places at once then. Feeling strangely assured by my increased understanding of the situation, I lay back, almost untroubled. Everything would be fine. I'd just lie here and make sure neither of us left the bed during the strange intersection of realities. It hadn't lasted very long the night before. I smiled as I lay there, fancying myself quite the master of the supernatural. I even continued to smile as I heard the scraping sound start up. The creature, or creatures, had noticed our intrusion. The scraping sounds were joined by a strange creaking somewhere out in the distance, but I figured that must have been the house itself and the wind. My idiot smile dropped as I felt a tug on the blankets from the end of the bed. The creatures might not be able to get inside for whatever reason, but apparently that didn't mean they couldn't pull things out. Terrified, I tugged back. A harder response pulled me up from the sheets, and I set my feet hard and hauled with all my might. Beside me, my boyfriend stirred in response to the struggle and tore free from the blankets as something heavy hit the bed's frame, shaking us. A strange groaning and growling sound matched it. Too intent on the increasing pull to explain, I just shouted in absolute panic. He screamed and pulled back with me, resisting whatever was trying to drag the blankets, sheets, and mattress away. The strength of our invisible enemy seemed incredible. He screamed again, and I abandoned the struggle to dive for my knife. The blankets tore away, and the pull focused on the mattress. Holding on to the bedpost in the total darkness, I stabbed out with the knife, but there was nothing there, at least not at my height. Feeling the bed shake with a heavy impact again, I stabbed down and felt the blade sink into bony flesh. Panicked, I stabbed and sliced again and again. The thing clawing after us in the darkness seemed to finally give up, and a pained groan emanated in the dark. Shaking, I grabbed my boyfriend, holding him close as he breathed heavily, too shocked to even ask what was happening. I didn't know how to explain it, even if he did ask. All I could do was wait out the other unworldly intersection, knowing that we were safe, that my efforts had actually succeeded against whatever the hell that thing had been. The morning sun soon sliced the nightmare away again. His jaw still trembling, my boyfriend stared at the light streaming in the window. Not me. I'd expected the different flow of time in that other place. I had a more disturbing interest. I crept to the end of our bed, peering down. His grandfather lay on the floor, mouth agape, curled up in our bloody sheets and blankets, horrible wounds covering his chest and neck, and my knife lay jutting from his arm. The floor around him was clean, the blood having fallen into that other place rather than the attic. Filled with horror, I suddenly understood a certain part of the night's experience. The creaking had been his grandfather coming up the stairs, perhaps to say something, perhaps to check on us. And then he'd had a heart attack, crawled over, grabbed at the sheets, and groaned for help. And I'd stabbed him. "What is it?" my boyfriend asked, finally able to form coherent words. Shivering, he stared at me, unwilling to come look. I couldn't breathe. I suddenly imagined a life in prison for murder, unable to explain the accident, unable to explain what had happened. And we had a bitter history already, his grandfather and I. There was no way that they'd believe me, or even believe that I was insane if I tried to go that route. An immense force suddenly jerked the roll of bloody sheets and blankets, dragging the entire mess under the bed. "Are you all right?" he asked, growing worried. "What was that? What's there?" My mouth moved for a moment before I was finally able to form words. "Nothing. There's nothing." My eyes frozen wide, I could only stare dumbly at the spot where I'd seen the wickedly bladed claw reach out from the darkness under the bed and take his grandfather's body. This is Spooky Boo. If you enjoyed that story, go ahead and leave a comment and let me know how you liked it. Also, head on over to my website at www.scarystorytime.com and subscribe to my podcast. If you'd like to hear the commercial-free podcast, join my website at www.spookyboo.club. I'm going to head on over and watch Creature Features now. I love Creature Features. Come and watch it with me. www.creaturefeatures.tv